Ever wonder what psychologist moms talk about when we get together? Whether we're consulting one another about a challenging case or one of our own kids, or just leaning on each other when parenting feels hard, because trust me, even when we do this for a living, it's still hard. Joining me each week in these special Thursday shows are two of my closest friends, both moms, both psychologists. They're the people I call when I need a sounding board. These are our unfiltered answers to your parenting questions. We're letting you in on the conversations the three of us usually have behind closed doors. This is Securely Attached, Beyond the Sessions. Hello, everybody. Dr. Emily Upshur, Dr. Rebecca Hirschberg, welcome back.
Hi.
Thank you. Always great to be here.
Yes. So last week, we answered a listener question about how to thoughtfully start incorporating screen time into your like young kid's life. So we were talking about like TVs versus a tablet and just making sort of like intentional decisions that are kind of informed from, you know, parenting in the age of technology, which is always a fun thing for us to have to deal with. But then after we had stopped recording, we kept talking and I realized there's like this whole other bucket of this screen time conversation that deserves kind of an episode all on its own. And that's screen time during travel. And so, I don't know, like for me, there are definitely days when like all my screen time rules go out the window and it's so much more about just getting through the day. However, that being said, there's definitely some things that parents can do and consider that I think can make these days go a little smoother. So, I don't know, just hit home for me. And spring break just ended a couple weeks ago and we went to Florida and I've just lived this experience. My kids are a little older than toddlers now, but I was just thinking it would be an interesting thing to revisit and kind of go deeper on, because I feel like kind of like we were saying in last week's episode, like thinking about screen time in this, in the context of what we're doing right now in this moment, right? You know, what's my goal here? Is it for me to get a break? Is it to get through a travel day? Is it to give my kids some downtime, whatever it is? You know, there's different kind of ways to think about it depending on what your goal is. And I feel like travel is its own beast.
I think, you know, if I'm being honest about my kids, I always am, I don't want to say it's a free-for-all during vacation, but I guess there's two different things. There's the travel, the actual travel, like the planes, the cars, you know, and then there's like doing the thing that we're traveling for, like going to the beach or whatever. On planes, that's the free for all. Like I will, and my kids are 8 and 10. And I think once they were old enough that would actually hold their attention for the whole time, I had no qualms about doing that. I remember feeling like it was glorious that I might actually be able to like close my eyes. Or I recently watched my own movie, like the one with Lady Gaga and
oh yeah, good one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I said to someone, I was like, and they're like, that came out like 100 years ago. I'm like, I know, but my kids are finally old enough to be on screens during the flight. So that's where I land. Do I feel like that's correct philosophically? I haven't even honestly thought about it. When I work with clients, I say whatever works for your family on planes and for your kids. That same with snacks. Like,
yeah,
you know, I don't come down either way on that. As far as vacation goes, I think you're right. You have to think about your kid and you have to think about when you're going to quote pay for it. You know, do you want vacation to be harder because you kind of will need to occupy your kids and perhaps deal with some of the same complaints you do during the school year, like I'm bored or, you know, or do you want, and to have the screen limits be the same, you know, as you have during the non-vacation times, or do you want to loosen them a little bit and perhaps have a more relaxing vacation for yourself and then probably have some quote unquote hangover effect, not in any technical way, although maybe there's research about that, but just the way that we always do when we change routines. You know, but I think there's a fear sometimes that parents have that, oh my gosh, if I loosen things up, if things aren't predictable, you know, we're never going to be, it's a slippery slope. We're never going to be able to get back. And anecdotally, I have found both with myself and clients that that's not the case. It might take a little extra work the way it always does to transition back to routines after vacation, but it's not insurmountable. And in my opinion, hasn't been a reason not to necessarily make that choice for your family during vacations. I just spoke a lot. I don't know if any of it made sense, but
I totally agree with you. I've done both. I have, you know, 13, almost 11, almost 8 year old kids. And we've done, like, I've experimented. I think that's like one of the things I would say, like, try a few different things. You're not going to have, you know, one draconian way of doing things. I think this, you know, what we talk a lot about on this podcast is being flexible and trying different approaches. And we've done no technology vacations. We've also done only technology when you travel vacations. And once we get there, they're gone. And we've also done the free-for-all. So I think it really is depends on, you know, what your child are. You know, all of my 3 children have very different relationships with screens too. So it's a little bit tricky to make a uniform policy across all children in my family. So I think you really have to adapt to what the needs are. If you have a really long flight, you know, your kids are zoning out. You know, we talked a little bit about this last time, like, I'm okay with them watching movies. I'm less okay with them doing, you know, a video game, quote unquote, for hours and hours and hours. That, again, I might just be old. And I think that's more analog, you know, but I think that
it's also often not an option because we won't pay for Wi-Fi for our kids on a flight. And that's a really easy boundary to draw, you know, because there's a lot of video games you need the internet for.
Totally. We were just on a flight and actually we let them do, which didn't have free Wi-Fi, but they had free movies on their thing, right? It was like American Airlines or something. And so we were like, go for it. Watch all the movies you want. We're not giving you screen time. This is like the screen time.
Right. The screen time is there.
Yeah. Is there. Yeah. And I think, again, just sort of like titrating that. And then we do like brain breaks and we do a little bit of a like check-in beforehand. So we'll be like, all right, so what's the plan for the flight? You know, assuming a flight goes as normal, which doesn't always happen. Right. You know, we say, all right, well, you have to do at least a break to snack without the screens, a break to read a little bit without the screens, and then you can veg out for a bunch, you know? So I think we do try to like just be mindful about it and talk about it as a process opposed to just letting it go. Even if we're just letting it go, we're talking about that. Like, all right, we're just totally letting it go right now. It's, you know, we could get grouchy after we, you know, do this a little bit too much. And we sort of like meta talk about the process as we're doing it. And I think, again, like the thing that we're always coming back to is there's no right or wrong. It's sort of like how you approach these things and, you know, being mindful and doing it with intention is always my goal.
Yeah. And prepping your kids. Like, I love that piece of sort of being like, hey, we're going to preview the flight. We're going to preview the plan. And so that way, if we have established as a team that, you know, we're going to take a brain break or whatever your language is for your family, then your kid understands, okay, that's going to be tough. I might not like that. What's my plan for managing that? But they know it's coming versus you sort of like halfway through the flight being like, oh my God, they're starting to get really like kind of like zombie-like. I need to like take this away. And then, hey, guess what? You take it away mid-flight and they are totally taken for a loop and they have a really strong reaction to that. Or you don't intervene because you feel like I can't now, but you know it's not helping. And then you have a really hard time after the flight. So it's like, I think it's good for us and our kids to have a game plan and also flexibility because the plan could change.
I mean, one thing I always say about screens is like, is it interfering with your values? So something that came up on our flight was that my kids were like spacing out on their screens when the flight attendants would come by and ask them if they'd like anything to drink. And I was like, absolutely not. You need to pause and address the human that is speaking to you. That's our values. There will be no screens until you can do that. You can watch a screen for the whole flight, but you also have to like interact appropriately, socially appropriately for our values with the surroundings. And so these are just like tiny little things that they require work, right? Like I still have to pause my movie on a flight to say, hey guys, come on, pause your thing. Let's pay attention. Let's use eye contact. Let's address people when they speak to you. But those are intentional things that I want to do when my kids are on screens, because even if they're going to be using a screen, I don't want them to be walking down the street, you know, like sort of zoning out, crossing a street. You know, I want them to be, or when people talk to them, or when we do when eating, we try to reduce screens. Those are just our particulars. And I think everybody probably has their own. But for me, it's like that whole relationship with it. We have to like work on it. It's not just, you know, they know how to do it. We have to teach them.
Yeah. And that brings up a point that, or a thought that I had that's kind of sort of relevant to the travel piece, which is like context switching, like being able to do one thing in a certain setting and understand there's different expectations in others. Like whether it's I'm on a screen, but if someone comes up to me, I need to put that screen down and interact with them because now I'm so engaging socially and I have to be able to switch from one mode to another with some fluidity. And as you get older, those are skills that we want to like really sort of hone in our children more consciously. But also this idea, kind of like Rebecca, what you kind of brought up was this idea of like, you know, we're going to have to readjust back to normal life after this trip, no matter what. And some parents are very nervous that if we do something outside of our routine, you know, with screens on a vacation, then when we come back, it's going to be a nightmare. And yes, that can be true. And also all things can be a bit of a nightmare coming back from a trip. Like I just had like the hardest drop off ever. This like all this week with my daughter because she, and it has previously been so smooth, but she's readjusting to something different again. And she's sensitive to that. And like, I do think it is helpful to remember though, that like adjustments can be hard and that's really normative. And kids can switch. They understand, they can understand, most kids typically can understand that what I do in this context might be different than what is expected in this context. And I can adjust to that. Or we want to help them be able to do that. That's actually kind of a healthy thing, that kind of flexibility.
I'm gonna be vulnerable for a moment and make a meta comment because I think it's so indicative of how this conversation can go and of momness. Mm-hmm. Screens, as I said, on planes are like a total free for, like, I'm so excited that I can do my own things on planes. They do become zombies. And so it goes. When I heard Emily talking about what being thoughtful and mindful, like I went to a place of like, oh my gosh, I've done this all wrong. Right. Like uh-huh. here's my colleague and friend who's so mindful and having this conversation about how they take a brain break. I don't think we've ever in a million years called anything a brain break. You know what I mean? Like, and then I go to a place of like, but Emily doesn't know how hard my kids are. And so I get to do this. And then I go to a place of like, oh, but Emily's kids are hard too. And she still manages to do this. So I'm clearly the worst. And I just am being vulnerable by sharing it because it's so much noise. Like, like the amount of energy that it just took me to have all those internal conversations. First of all, I didn't hear a thing that Sarah said. Right. Cause I was like having my, and also all that it does is make me feel bad. And I'm the person on this podcast, along with the two of you, that says over and over again, there's no right way to do things. Mm-hmm. And yet it's so insidious. Yeah. Like it creeps in, and like, we're all close friends and professionals. Like if it can creep in here, it's just, if any of you are listening and have, it's like, it's just everywhere. And I'm just right now going to sort of model self-compassion and put my hand on my heart and just be like, you're doing the best you can every trip at a time with your kids. And maybe next time we'll have a brain break, or maybe we won't. And I don't know. I just wanted to highlight that. Cause I think again, the point of the Beyond the Sessions is this sort of meta idea of like hearing what goes on for us as child psychologists who are also moms. And like, there's a lot of the mom noise.
Yeah.
Still.
I also love that because I think the other thing that you made me think of when you were saying that is there's one thing how we hope it goes, and it's another thing how it really looks. You know, like I'm even reflecting like, okay, when I want my kid, I'm like yelling at them on the plane to put down their device, right? Like it's not like pretty and lovely, and you know, there's pushback, you know, on both of our sides. And I think again, the same thing of like, we just can't be perfect. We're just trying, you know, and this might, the other thing that makes me think of is like, screens might not be the thing, Rebecca, that's the priority for you to try on. Like you don't have to be 100% in 100% of the things, you know? It's like, you probably nailed chores at home, you know? And I'm like, I'm not nailing chores at home.
Nailed it.
You know what I mean? Like, you might have put more intention in there. I think it's...
Of course there is. Yeah, no, you're 100% right. And also, you know, look, am I working on social skills with both my kids and making eye contact and treating unknown adults as adults? Absolutely. Have I made a conscious decision that, like, I'm not going to deal with that on planes because we don't fly that often? We probably fly once or twice a year. And the amount of pushback I'm going to get about, like, totally. But everything's sort of this cost benefit. And I think as we talk about these things, it's not only the usual, like, there's no right answer, what works for your family, but it's also just like each moment is a choice. And there are trade-offs all along the way. And what you see is not everyone's whole story. And what, you know, it's like, I might see a mom yelling at her kid on the plane to put her device down. And I might say, you know, oh, if only that mom had pre-gamed this and front-loaded it and, and, you know, talked about a brain break before. And it turns out it's Emily, like an expert child psychologist who did all the things. And she's, you know, so... It's just that tendency to judge ourselves, to judge others, to criticize, to feel bad. Like, it's just, it's so right there.
And I think, like, the other piece is, can we, when we feel that, like, can we identify it as you just so beautifully did? And can we, like, reframe it a little? Like, can we say, like, okay, I didn't do that. I'm not a total disaster. Maybe I'll try that next time, you know, like, or maybe I'll introduce this concept. Maybe I'll do something a little bit different. I think is also, like, it would be nice if that was a nice way for us as moms to be less critical on ourselves, you know, and say like, I like that idea. Maybe I'll try that next. It's not a done, the cake is not baked, you know, like it's not a done
deal. There's curiosity and there's flexibility. Cause again, it's that pendulum that I went to that I always go to, which is first, I'm a terrible mom, but then it's like, absolutely not. I am the best mom and I did the absolute right thing for my family. So screw all of you. And then it's like, no, actually, if I can just quiet the voices, like it's probably somewhere in between. And if I can approach it with curiosity and compassion and flexibility, as you said, then there's the space to try new things and, you know, try and fail and trial and error and all the things that we, I think, talk about on here and encourage people to do. And it's still just so hard to get there ourselves.
And it's really common, kind of like you're describing, to go to one extreme and then slingshot to the other extreme and then land somewhere in the middle. But that landing in the middle part, if that's your final destination, you've done a great job, right? Like that's the work. It's not like, can I always be this self-compassionate, in the middle, wise mind, mom? It's like, no, can I swing to one extreme, perhaps notice it, swing to the other extreme, perhaps notice that, and then notice this process of swinging and say, oh, wait, hold on. I see what I'm doing here. Let's just come back down to center and give myself a break. But that is actually the process. It's kind of like when people think of like meditation as being like, oh, I can't meditate because I can't quiet my mind. It's like, well, no, actually meditation isn't a quiet mind. Meditation is just knowing and noticing when your mind wanders and then attempting to bring it back to this, to the quiet, knowing it will completely go back to some other thought in a second and I have to bring it back. It's like, it's the bringing it back that's actually the final outcome of good. You've done a great job.
Well, it's the process. And that's what I really think what's resonating with me about this conversation is like, I might have all the best intention. I might try all the best intentions and that doesn't even mean they work. And that doesn't mean I'm wrong, right? Like I can still keep trying and and quote unquote failing because my kid isn't having an aha moment, but that doesn't mean my attempt is wrong. And I might have to do that attempt 100 times before I even see like a tiny little bit of, you know, change. And it doesn't mean that that's folly, you know, that doesn't mean like, oh, well that didn't work. So now I'm done and I'm going to move on to something different. You know, I think that's one of the other things. Like if I say, please put down your screen and they don't the first 150 times, it doesn't mean that my intention of doing that is like, well, that didn't work. So I'm going to move on to the next thing.
Right. It's like that metaphor that I use a lot of like you plant a seed and every time you return to this, it's one drop of water. one drop of water, mm-hmm. one drop of water. You dropping those drops of water is helping that seed to grow into a plant. You just aren't going to see it for a very long time. But if you stopped doing it, it's not going to turn into anything. So you got to be patient.
I think of that metaphor a lot when I think about how some of the screen experts with whom I agree say how important it is to teach our kids to be reflective about how screens make them feel. Mm-hmm. Huh? And how my kids are like, they make me feel great. End of story. You know, like the end. I'm like, this really feels like I'm slamming my head into a wall, but maybe when one of them is like 16, maybe they'll be able to say like, wait a second, I end up feeling cranky when I put it down. But in the meantime, it's aspirational and it's that one drop of water at a time.
I'm 38. I'm about to be 39 and I still have trouble with that one. So it takes a while, but I am getting there. I definitely do know now that I am super addicted to my phone and it doesn't make me feel good, but it took me a while.
I remember it was one of your podcast episodes. I remember listening to it and you like had an aha moment. You were like, wait, I think that's me.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm like, it's a huge struggle. Like that's another thing we could talk about a little bit here, which is like our use of these technology devices, right? Like it's pretty hard to tell your kids, hey guys, take a brain break, no screens, while we are sitting there watching movies the whole time, because thank God there are movies on planes because it's a lot of sitting still. And I like to watch movies on planes. And I remember, Rekha, when you were saying like, oh my God, I finally got to watch a movie on a plane. I remember the joy, the sheer joy I felt the first time I took an airplane ride and I got to watch a movie while my child ignored me the whole flight. Right. It was like, oh my God, I've made it past that threshold of, oh my, I don't have to string Cheerios on a pipe cleaner for this entire flight. Thank God. Thank God. Yes. It's nice. And we benefit from it and that's okay. And we might feel guilty about it and that's okay too. And if we want to help our kids have awareness around their screen use, we also have to model that for ourselves.
100%. I thought about that a lot. Oh, sorry, Rebecca. No, I was just going to say, I think about that a lot because I started reading again, because as a mom of young children, every time I picked up a book, I fell asleep within promptly 30 seconds. So I just couldn't read for a long time, to be totally honest with you. And I started reading again and my kids were like, you read books? And I was like, yes, I do. I read books, you know? And I think like that, even that sort of like notion of like, oh, like that's something else you can do with your downtime to recharge or to relax, you know, whatever it is. I'm even a little coy to say that because it was just a really hard thing for me personally as a young parent with young kids to like have lost. And then I even felt guilty then about like not having shown my kids that, you know, after they sort of, I'm always telling them to read, by the way, like always, like every day, you know? So I think that's another piece of it.
I also, I read on a Kindle, but I really try to use my actual Kindle and not the Kindle app on my phone so that they see I'm reading a book, because otherwise they might think I'm on Instagram, mm-hmm. you know, as opposed to reading. So it's like, what does it look like to them? Mm-hmm. But I was just going to say, you know, to the point that we made at the beginning of this and kind of practicing different boundaries and different rules on travel, my kids kind of know now that they get to use as much screens as they want on planes and also have the junkiest snacks. And as I'm trying to focus on my successes, it's like they know that, right? So like they'll go into an airport store and say, we're getting gummy bears, this, this, and this, but they would never go into a store like in our regular life and think they could do that. So it's also like, as you come up with the routines that work for your family, it's not impossible to sort of bookend them as specific and special to specific and special occasions. And when the plane ride ends, by the way, they might be like, wait, can I have one more gummy worm? And it's like, nope. You know, now we enter real life again. Where there's
nothing. Because that's actually like I think there is something, as adults, we do that. I buy like, I never read magazines that are like people, I read those on travel, you know, like I think there's something kind of nice too, to be like, this is my mode of vacation. This is my brain candy, you know, like, and you're creating that with your kids is I think that's a really nice tradition in some ways.
Yeah, it's like rituals.
Such a good mom. It's unbelievable.
You're amazing.
Amazing. Amazing. No, I think these rituals are special. And honestly, they're core memories for our kids. Like, I remember my mom's from Puerto Rico, and we used to go to Puerto Rico to see my grandparents twice a year, every year, for like 2 weeks at a time. And my core memory of going to visit my grandparents was watching Nickelodeon, like, all day long. Like, and it was the best. I loved it because I didn't get that at home. I did not have cable at home. I didn't get to watch all the Nickelodeon and Nick at Night stuff. And I gobbled it up, and it was fun. And I'm sure my mom is like cringing to hear me, if she's listening, be like, that's your core memory of like visiting grandma and grandpa in Puerto Rico at the beach is Nickelodeon for hours. Oh God. And also, like, I have nothing bad about that in my memory. I have other core memories from visiting. That wasn't the only thing I ever did, but I loved it. And so just let our kids have those things too. And like have those core memories that are like maybe disaligned with our beautiful visions of our fantasy of parenthood. And maybe it's wonderful for them. And that could be good too.
Love it.
Love it.
It's great.
Love you
it.
Guys. I'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Thank
Bye.
You.
Thank you so much for listening. As you can hear, parenting is not one size fits all. It's nuanced and it's complicated. So I really hope that this series where we're answering your questions really helps you to cut through some of the noise and find out what works best for you and your unique child. If you have a burning parenting question, something you're struggling to navigate, or a topic you really want us to shed light on or share research about, we want to know. Go to drsarahbrenn.com/question to send in anything that you want Rebecca, Emily, and me to answer in Securely Attached Beyond the Sessions. That's drsarahbrenn.com/question. And check back for a brand new Securely Attached next Tuesday. And until then, don't be a stranger.